My brother Ross, welcome, my friend, to the Justin Aguirre podcast.
Mate, thank you so much for having me on, man. This is so cool.
This is such a surreal experience for me because I've recorded into my phone and my laptop and a microphone I bought 4 years ago, for the past 4 years. And today we're sitting in a studio in Buenos Aires and I met you less than a week ago.
It's wild, man. You're sitting drinking mate and we're chilling and we're just gonna shoot the shit. Can I swear on this?
Oh, dude, yeah. I always put the little E at the end of our episodes so that people know.
That's seriously explicit, man.
Explicit and entertaining.
Yeah. Infotaining.
I'm so honored to talk to you, man, because, you know, it's funny how we met, and we can go so many different ways with this podcast, but I think for our listeners for today, I want them to know you. I want them to understand the power of social media and how fast things can move and how intimately we are connected with other people that we've never even met before and how much we have in common. And maybe you can just give us some motivation from your own story in your own life.
Totally, man.
If you want to just start off by telling us, just like a brief introduction of how you ended up in Buenos Aires as being a man from Scotland.
Honestly, man, sometimes I sit and think about it and I'm just like, how has this happened, man? Like, I genuinely feel like really, really blessed. I wake up some days and I do have to pinch myself and be like, wow, man, this is cool. So yeah, man, I mean, where to start, man? I was like, I've had a very, very similar journey to yourself. Some of your listeners might know your story.
Yep.
I studied sports at university back in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Was a football coach, a soccer coach, in the US as well, man. Just kind of stumbling through life, not really knowing what I wanted to do. Worked in a gym,
mm-hmm.
ended up coaching some people in the gym, training some people, became a PT and thought, man, I really like this. Like, I want to do this more. So I built this kind of PT business out of nowhere. Like, people were actually giving me money to do stuff that I liked to do anyway, which was, I don't know if you can relate to that, man, but I was like, that is wild, man. And that just kind of grew arms and legs and then got quite busy. Then I opened a gym with who is still my business partner. That was about 7-8 years ago. We had this gym, which I thought, man, that's amazing. That's the dream.
Mm.
And it's funny, like, sometimes it's like, be careful what you wish for because you get this thing and it's not that great. I actually ended up a bit of a trap. Don't get me wrong, like, there was parts of it that I loved, but it was like, it took up my whole life basically. It was just this gym, man. We had staff, like, and then the staff would leave or problems would happen sometimes with staff, and you would just be stuck with this gym. And we might go into this in a bit of detail as well, but one of my biggest values is freedom and having experiences in life.
Yep.
And that business gave me no freedom. I mean, it wasn't really even a business because the whole point of a business is, you know, it's something that works while you're not essentially there.
Yeah.
I was there all the time.
Yeah.
6 a.m. till 8 p.m., 9 p.m.
Man.
Just like, and you don't have the time or energy to think, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
So then you think, right, do you know what we'll do? We'll get more gym members and we'll get more staff and build this thing. And it's like this this monster you're kind of building. And what was crazy, man, is like, you know, you're thinking that people look on the outside and think, man, that looks cool, he's successful. You're not even making any more money because you pay more tax and you have to pay more staff. So, like, you're just more stressed. It's just
crazy,
it's like,
dude.
It was crazy. So anyway, as happened to a lot of people, COVID changed everything for me.
Yeah,
man.
Same.
So COVID happened and I was like, shit, man, I don't know what to do here because I can't run my business. And I'm going to need to move it online. Like, how's it going to work? And somehow it really did work. It worked amazing. And then all of a sudden I was starting to realize, and my business partner was starting to realize as well, like, this, that we don't really have to have a gym to make this business work. In fact, there's so many advantages to not having the gym for us personally, but also from the point of view of the business and everything. And then when COVID was kind of over and we could go back to the gym, we sold it. And then I didn't go like traveling straight away, but it didn't take me that long. I went to Mexico for a few months, which was awesome. I came back to Scotland for a bit, traveled all around Europe. This year I've been traveling in South America. All last year. It's only the 15th of January, so all of last year I was in Colombia, and then I ended up here in Buenos Aires. And then last week, man, we met through the power of social media,
through a Facebook through a Facebook group that we were both in as people that are digital nomads in Buenos Aires. And then it just sort of clicked from there. You're like, hey, what's up, mate? You want to chill, like have a coffee or something like that? So just so people know, like, how much we have in common and how the universe can bring people in your life to help you on your journey. So me and Ross were both 36, single dudes, digital nomads, online coaches. We both ironically decided to give up alcohol for 2024. And just so you guys know, I did a DNA test once and I'm like a little bit Scottish. So I thought that was pretty cool. So we're both Scottish.
30% is quite a lot, man. Just two Scottish guys you got in the podcast.
Something, man. Something. And for a guy from Scotland to give up alcohol, I'm like, dude, this guy's a badass. And I see his content and he's training and stuff. And we have almost like a similar, like, be strong, be hard message, like silence the bitch voice within yourself, grow internally, connect it to the larger spheres of life. So we share a similar message. And all this to say, it's so ironic and fascinating how the universe just brings people along your journey and says, hey, here's somebody that's doing what you do. Just in case you might feel alone in what you do, just know there's other people on the journey that are on that grind as well. And we're all fighting for this truth, for this higher vision of what we see ourselves as. And I love that. I love that about you. And I know there's a lot of people listening that are coaches as well. And just know, like, when you ask for something, like I remember asking, man, I'd love to meet like dope ass people here. And I was thinking like Argentinian people, you know, but then what do you know? A guy from Scotland, you know, and it just happens, crazy, man. And it just happens. So, I just want to say, like, it's so cool how life happens, how friendship can emerge. When you ask for it and when you make yourself available and when you're walking in alignment with your path, those are the good truths. I wanted to ask you something. Has it been difficult? Cause there's people listening that are like, they want to be online coaches, right? Mm-hmm. And you come from like a gym background, but nonetheless, you still decided like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm going to go be an online coach. And I talk to people who are like, I'd love to do what you do, Jay. Like, and could you tell, because they've heard it from me, they've heard it from maybe other people, or just the online fitness world has grown so much since COVID.
Totally,
but your story, like, has it been that hard? And what was the hard part of actually going fully 100% online and not having it as a side gig? Like, how did you make that happen?
That's a great question, man. So I was in a fortunate position of already having a bunch of clients already, having a degree of authority and having been doing what I've been doing for a while. So people kind of knew who I was to a degree. And we offered all our current clients in the gym, you know, you want to keep working with us online, it's going to be awesome. Like, we would love to have you involved. A small percentage of them stayed and probably a bigger percentage left, which I was cool with. Took a big drop in income, so there was like a bit of stress, a bit of pressure on it. It was kind of like, right, need to make this work, man. But to go on a slight tangent, I've always been a believer in, like, if you want to do something, like, don't pussyfoot about it, like, commit to it, go all in with it, where, like, you have to make it work, because if there's an option for it not to work, you always stay kind of comfortable.
Yeah,
it's like a bungee jump, man. It's like a skydive. It's like, just take the jump, man, and see what happens.
A
lot of people, like, maybe have jobs just now, but the job is the thing that's holding them back from starting their own business, because it takes up 50 hours of their week, so they're always tired.
Yeah,
if they just quit the job, and I'm not saying to anyone listen to this, like, quit a job, it's not quite as black and white as that, but for some people it is. Sometimes it's a case of, like, you know, have the set of balls to go and do that, because life's fucking short, man. And,
That's the thing, is I want to camp there with you and stay there, because we've been taught to mitigate risk, you know, to play it safe. And there's certain survival mechanisms in there that help us. But at some point, like, walking out on faith, it just requires you to have tons of fear when you do it. And you're just like, holy shit, what's going to happen, right? I'm really scared with this event. But anything that's going to be great is going to involve an element of risk. So you're going to feel fear, but you're going to have to take that path of faith. Do you remember clearly that moment and that feeling of like, I can't believe that I'm walking on this path. I can't believe I'm actually doing this. Cause I remember mine when I went fully, like, online, and I was like, And a lot of people tell you, like, oh, you got to save a certain amount of money. I was in debt when I did it. So I just bet on myself, like, massively. And you just prove to yourself, like, you can do it. So do you have, like, a clear-cut remembrance of, like, this is when I jumped out. And burned.
I mean, I'm making it sound like I just had a moment where I just went, fuck it. Like, I agonized over it for quite a while, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, myself and Grant, my business partner, we were like, is it the right thing to do? Like, is it going to work? What if it doesn't work, etc.? We weren't sure how to do it. We actually signed up to a coaching program, which pretty much, you were talking about getting into depth.
Yeah, yeah.
The coaching program is a business coaching program. We'll teach you how to make your business work online. It pretty much emptied our whole bank account.
Yeah.
And we were like, shit.
Yeah.
But we've got to do it now, man. What if it doesn't work, man?
Yeah.
But honestly, man, like, the pressure makes you work so fucking hard.
That's the thing. And that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm telling people is, and that's what I really believe is, like, when you give yourself no other option, you have to find a way out or die. It's just, it's the burn the bridges mentality that's so healthy for human beings sometimes in a society that's so coddled and, like, comforted.
Yeah,
it's like, if I tell you, like, there's only one way to get through this and you have to find a way, you'll find a way. It's survival. So you really tap into your survival instincts. Like, no matter what, your son who's 3 months old is going to die if you don't come up with $10,000 by the 31st of this month. Motherfucker, you will find $10,000.
Like, 100%.
You know? But if you say you have all the time in the world, there's no rush, what's going to happen? You know?
Yeah,
you're just going to sit on it. And sometimes we need that, like, pressure, like, do or die situation, especially as entrepreneurs, to come alive, bro.
To come alive,
you know?
Totally, man. I think the whole thing with being open to taking risk, it depends, like, who you are as a person and what's important to you, man. Because I remember I've been self-employed for maybe more than 12 years, and I can always remember my parents, they really value, like, security and stability, which, you know, there is a lot of benefit to that, but they tried to talk me out of leaving a paid job to go and do it. They were like, what if this happens, what if that happens? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway, man.
Yeah.
And it was scary at the time, but made it work. And you always kind of, like, you know, if you're someone that maybe doesn't have amazing confidence, if you doubt yourself a lot, sometimes I think one of the best ways you can doubt yourself less is have a fuck it moment and just back yourself.
Oh, we're gonna coin that for Ross, the fuck it moment.
Mate,
oh,
honestly,
dude, we could do t-shirts. That sounds so cool, bro.
Fuck it moments, man.
That's great. No, mate, it's facts, dude. It's
totally
facts.
Like,
it's
all the best things that I've achieved in my life, which I've always been on the other side of a fuck it moment. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if this is gonna work, man.
Yeah,
but we'll try it anyway. We'll roll the dice and we'll see. And it pretty much always works, man.
You know what's cool about a fuck it moment is, I love that you said that, is because usually when we use that word, it's always involving, like, something you're going to do that probably isn't good for you, right? And then we say that.
I've been there as well, man.
Right? Right? So it's like we're going to take these, like, 10 shots. Ah, fuck it. And you go all in. But even though it's, like, harmful to you, you're still taking the risk and you're walking out on faith and you're trusting something that could go horribly wrong and you have no idea what it's going to be. It could be exciting. It could leave you vomiting. But it's like, if we just apply those energies to, like, money making, like healthy lifestyle patterns, like, that would actually be really helpful because it's the same muscles, but we just use it to gratify ourselves.
Oh, totally.
Right? Or, like, I'm going to jump out into this bungee jumping. Fuck it. You know, why can't we just say that about starting a new business? Fuck it. Or, like, beginning a new fitness journey. Fuck it. Right?
Totally, man.
Fuck it moments, dude.
Fuck it moments. Absolutely, man.
I love that, bro.
Mate, you can have that, man. Honestly, man.
You know what the title of this podcast is going to be? Fuck it.
Mate, all of it, man. Fuck it moments in your life, man. Have you had any good kind of fuck it moments that you could think back on where you weren't sure you were scared and you just thought,
oh yeah,
you
know, yeah, when I hired a business coach, I paid him $7,500 and I was in debt, but I was like, I need to find a way to make this online thing work because I'm not going to be a soccer coach anymore, and I was only making like $2,000 a month, so I'm not going to be a soccer coach anymore, I'm in debt, I have car payments, student loans, I need to find out what to do. So I went even more in debt. Like, I dug it even deeper. And $7,500 on another credit card so that I can finally learn something and then worked my way out.
Yep.
But it like 10x'd. Like, it was just like the best decision I made. It could have went horribly wrong, but I remember the exact moment that I pressed pay on the browser and I was just like, fuck it. I did a prayer before that, and I was like on my knees, and I was like, I really, really want this to work. But when I stood up and I sat down in my chair, I was like, fuck it, boom. And that was it.
Mate,
you
got
to do that sometimes, man.
You have to, man. Yeah, yeah, totally. But I think so many people get, I call it like comfortably uncomfortable. It's like life's shit, but it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just stay where I am. It's yeah. like sometimes you're like, how bad does it have to get, man, for you to have that moment?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah. You got to hype yourself up. It's fun, man. It's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
You know, what I've realized is like, you got to keep recreating those moments. Like, cause a lot of times, like even now I'm talking to you, like I'm thinking about that was my past. And then I'm thinking like, when have I had my last moment like that?
Mate, probably giving up alcohol for a year, man.
Yeah.
For me, that was a fucking moment.
Oh yeah. Good call. Good call, bro. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
That was my last one. I was just thinking, what was the last time I did that?
Yeah.
Right there, man. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, am I going where I want to go? I'm where I need to do something different. Like,
that's good.
What's crazy? What can I roll the dice on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think another one was when I started traveling and going to different countries and shit.
Of course, man.
You know, just fuck it. You know, this whole thing could blow up in my face.
Totally, man. I thought about going to South America for ages, man, and I was agonizing over it. I had, do you ever use Skyscanner for booking
flights? Yeah, dude. It's like digital nomad tips, bro.
Yeah, yeah, of course, man. So I had Skyscanner open on a browser for like a week, and I was messing about with booking a flight, and then I didn't do it because I was like, is it the right thing to do?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't work out? Blah, blah, blah. And then the day before I went, the night before, I'd had a couple of beers, man, ironically.
Yeah.
And I came back from having a couple of beers, and the browser was still open, and I was like, fuck it. And then I woke up in the morning, but hungover, man. I was like, oh my god, I'm going to Colombia first thing in the morning, man.
Dude,
I'm not ready for this.
Yeah. And I want to just clarify for people listening, like, there's dumb risk and there's calculated risk, and it's important that I just want people listening to not think that we're advocating like stupidity. It's calculated risk. Like, you're in a journey, you're in a path that's already set in motion, and there's these fuck it moments along that way.
That's a great point, man.
But if you're not on a path and you're doing fuck it moments, you're actually going to hurt yourself and it's going to turn against you. Being in alignment and then taking risk is different from being out of alignment and taking risk.
Yes. I love that.
I just want to clarify for people, bro. Because I know if I would have heard it 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, bro, like, what am I thinking about? Let me just buy this car. Fuck it.
Here's a perfect example, right? Because obviously you touched on before, like, we're both single guys and stuff, man. I can remember, like, definitely when I was younger, like, you know, you talk about like having the cojones, having the balls to ask a girl out and stuff.
Yeah.
But see, when you look at calculated risk, right? The calculated risk is when she's maybe giving you a sign that she might be interested already. So like, it's nerve wracking, but it's like, you know, she there's a good chance to say yes because she's giving me some eye contact or whatever it is. I can think back to maybe like 10 plus years ago when I was younger, and I'm thinking, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
But she's not interested.
Yeah.
That's an example of like that stupidity.
Yeah.
And then you get rejected, and you're
I never do that again. And then it actually hurts you. That's such a good one. I mean, yeah, absolutely, brother. I wanted to ask you, just so people can know you a little bit more, because I want them to follow you and see your work, because I think it's really cool what you're up to, and you and your business partner and stuff like that, and the fact that you're just traveling the world, like from Scotland. And you told me the other day Scotland's like 4 million people, right? That's crazy. I mean, guys, he's from Scotland. He's in Buenos Aires. He's learning Spanish. He speaks Spanish with a Scottish accent. Like, how cool is that, bro? just imagine like if William Wallace moved to Puerto Rico, like, that's my boy, right? So good, bro. But I just want people to know like a little bit more about you. So tell me like just some just practical things, because it's so hard to travel and keep a fitness oriented life and stay committed to your vision and have profit. And what are some of the habits in your life that you do, some of the things that you do on a daily to keep you aligned with who you want to be?
Mate, I love that question, man. That's awesome. I mean, I always prioritize my fitness and nutrition. That might sound kind of obvious, but it's not that easy when you're moving around, because gym access you have changes all the time. I'm like the master of the gym day pass because that's sometimes what you have to do. It's a different gym all the time. You need to know how to be flexible with your training as well, because sometimes, I mean, I have a coach, but sometimes I go and it's like, okay, half of that's not an option here, so I'm going to need to change things a little bit. And for it not to be perfect. Sometimes nutritionally, sometimes it's not perfect as well, man. Especially it's better now, like learning some Spanish, but when I first was living in Spanish speaking countries, I'd be walking about the store with Google Translate trying to work out what things are. I mean, there's a meal I like to make for like meal prep. It's a chicken and chorizo stew.
Chicken and chorizo stew. Sounds delicious.
I mean, it's awesome, man. But
stew. A Scott would make some stew, huh? I love it. I love it.
A stew. We would say a stew.
That's good.
It's so funny when I hear my accent next to yours and I just cringe, man. It's
terrible. Yeah, I do. Hey, everyone listening loves it, bro. I've never had, just someone from Scotland. So I love it, dude. Like, I'm like, we can go for hours, bro. This is just inspiring. I know everyone's feeling it. Toast to you as I drink this mate.
Thank you, man. Toast the mate, man. Absolutely, man. So yeah, man, so like, I've made like chicken and chorizo stew, but I've made it a couple of places where like I've not bought chorizo, I bought salami, so it's been like it was disgusting.
Yeah.
It's not got the same effect, man. So all those kind of things around my first thing, like with you know, even like the guys we coach, it's like, you know, put yourself first, because you know, if you are someone that runs a business, whatever it is, whatever your life is, like you are the thing that drives it forward. So if you're feeling on point, like everything else is going to be good. And you know, don't get me wrong, like there's times that I've been traveling where I haven't done that, and it's I've felt the difference in it. If my training's not been as good, if my nutrition's not been as good, if my habits at the weekend, if I've been partying a lot and stuff, then it starts as a knock-on effect on business and things like that as well. Yeah. And obviously, as much as I love traveling the world and experiencing things and meeting people like yourself, like the number one thing, the thing I always need to remember, the thing that allows me to be doing this is my business, and that has to come first as well, man. So me first, which has a knock-on effect on the business and then everything else. So I mean, I don't know if this is something you can relate to, man, but when I first started going traveling, like it was so cool, it was so exciting, man. I'm in new places and I want to experience all this kind of stuff, and like I actually got it twisted, I got it the wrong way around. So it was like experiences first and then almost treated my business a bit like a hobby, and I treated myself, I didn't treat myself as well as I should. And that was a hard lesson, man.
That's a good analysis because I think it'll happen to anyone that travels a lot. And what's interesting about people like me and you and anyone that has a personal brand is that when you suffer, your business suffers. They're intimately linked. But on the flip side, when you're feeling on top of the world, everyone feels it. That's associated with your brand.
Totally, man. And people can pick it up even through social media, man. If your energy's not on point, people know, man.
Oh yeah, bro.
They can feel it the way you are on camera.
Oh yeah. Oh, bro. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up on camera, because I follow different, you know, online coaches, and there's people listening that are, whether they are in fitness or they have an Instagram, they have a Facebook and stuff. Was it hard for you to talk on camera? Because I notice you do it often too. And I talk to people that you know, have brands and stuff, but they don't really talk on camera.
Yep.
So how did you get to that place where you're so free to talk on camera, you know, and just feel this way? Yeah.
Lots of practice and eating some shit, man.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, like eating some shit from like friends. Like, you know what it's like, your friends will slag you and they'll take the piss. That happened, and it's like you get a bit of a thick skin, because it's like at first, like, you don't want to do it because it's like, what if people comment, what if people say something?
Yeah.
And then when they do, it's like, oh, it's fine, cool, and you can laugh it off.
Yeah,
it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And I think just continuously doing it.
Yeah. And okay,
I mean, if I look back now to videos I did years ago, I cringe, man. I'm like, God, that's awful.
Really?
That's terrible, man. But it's just a confidence thing, man. And just now, like, I'm not great at it either. It takes practice and repetition and mistakes. Yeah. I mean, I've been here in this podcast studio with John. He's sitting here and he'll tell you, man, sometimes I'm recording videos and it's like 10 takes for one video and stuff, and you keep making mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's not perfect. But honestly, man, I think as well, it comes back to what we talked about before. Like, when you're in a position where it is like your income, it's like your life, you just kind of have to, man.
You gotta find a way.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta find a
absolutely,
way.
Absolutely, man. Because if not, you won't grow.
That's good.
Financially, personally, all that kind of stuff, man. You know, we talk to a lot of guys who run their own business. My business now helps other business owners get fitter, get in shape.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys, you know, I go on their Instagram and all it is pictures of the product or, you know, pictures of the service. And it's like, oh, it's nice, but who are you?
Yeah, dude, that's great.
Get yourself on camera, man.
That's great.
But they don't have the confidence to do it.
Yeah.
Feel awkward. It's like, and I know because I've been there, like you're recording yourself and you're like, ah, delete it, don't post that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, just fucking post it, man.
Yeah,
who cares?
Isn't it such a good feeling when you're free to just be yourself and express?
Totally, man.
You know, it's almost for me to the point where it'd be weird if I didn't talk. That's how much I flipped the script on people.
That's wild, man.
Subconsciously.
But I'm going to assume it wasn't always like that.
Yeah, it wasn't. I've always had a desire to speak in public or on camera growing up. I just was like, I want to do that. But it was so scary for me.
Yep.
And that's how our gift works. Like anytime it's a gift or a dawn, a calling on you, it kind of like, it's almost like your wound as well. So for me, it was like, I was just like, get so nervous. And I had to join Toastmasters, actually.
Oh, no way, man.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, of course, man.
Because, you know, it was before, like, talking on camera was really a thing. This was, like, you know, 10 years ago. It was still a thing, but it wasn't, I didn't have a brand or anything like that, so it wasn't really pressing on me. But I remember joining Toastmasters and just being like, I got to get through this. And I remember the first speech, like, just fucking shaking, like, I just like my heart rate was so high that my words were quivering, you know, and I just, and those for me are the glory days, man. Those are the glory days, man, you know, that's how you do it. And then when it came time to getting on camera, that was around the same time that I started a podcast. And then once I got a good compliment from somebody, it just sent me off to the races.
Oh, man.
Once someone that I respected said, hey, that was pretty good, I was off to the races. That's what we need, man, that edification, you know.
Sometimes, yeah, because especially like, you know, if you're putting stuff out there and then you're getting crickets, you just assume like, oh man, that was bad, I'm an idiot, I'll delete the post.
Yeah, dude.
And one thing I've learned about social media is like, people are always watching. You just, they don't always comment. A lot of people don't like stuff, they just watch it.
It sucks.
And then you'll get a message out of the blue from someone saying, man, I really like your stuff. And it's like, I've never like, heard of you in my life, man.
Thanks, Tom. We haven't spoken since fourth grade.
Exactly. Exactly, man. And I think a big part of, I don't know if this relates to what we were talking about, but like a big part of like being a business owner, entrepreneur is like just doing stuff for no reward and keeping doing it and keeping doing it, and then having that little debate with yourself, like, is this even worth doing? I'll just do it again the next day, do it again the next day. It's like almost like you're burrowing through this tunnel at the hope that there's going to be light at the end and you're going to get a reward, but you don't even know if you're going the right way.
And
it's like you correct yourself, it's like, no, this feels more like the right way, and you get there. Like, some days, man, like I'll have 2-3 weeks where there's just no traction, nothing happening, and I think what I'm doing is I trust myself, but I'm just like, I just need to keep doing it, man.
You know what I love about our work, and this is honestly for anyone that's doing, it doesn't have to be entrepreneurial, it could be like you have a boss, it could be 9-to-5. What I love about our work, I'll just say, for because we're in the same industry, is if you can make it selfless, it helps so much.
Yep.
If you could show up with the mindset that I'm here for you and not for me, it really just makes everything so much easier. But not, I don't know if easier is the right word, because sometimes it's hard, but it makes things flow a lot nicer. When you realize that it's not about you, and it's for a higher purpose, it's for someone else, it's for a bigger vision, it's the emphasis is off of me, and I'm here to serve. And now we tap into what it means to actually be a human and serve others. You know, it's not about us.
Yeah, I love that, man. I love that. Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about like recording content on camera and stuff, I think a great frame that I try and think about is like the people that are listening to you, like you can help them, and and people have a need to be like led, you know, you can help them get somewhere. Like if the way you come across to them makes them inspired, or they listen to you and think, man, like show me how and stuff,
yeah,
like, that's going to help them.
Yeah, dude.
Whereas if you're only worrying about like how you sound and stuff, yeah, like you're gonna mess up the bigger purpose of it.
Correct. Man. Yeah, it's all about am I getting likes? Do I sound stupid? Do I look good? Do I make money? Do I, you know, it's everything's about you, and I guess you can go that route, but it's so heavy to bear.
Yeah,
it's totally. So heavy to bear every day, and it's a performance-based model, and then you have to keep up an image that's working with the market.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're like, I don't care about me, I just want to be, I just want things to be about you, then like for instance, right now I'm making this podcast, in the back of my mind I'm like, how can I make Ross look so good? That's it. And like, and I think in the process, maybe I'm helping myself by doing that. But if it was about like, this is a Justin Aguirre podcast and it was about me, like, you know, that energy would come through to you. It would come through to the listener. But if we all just took the emphasis off of ourselves, and then if you had that mindset towards me, like there is a divine exchange happening, you know, absolutely, and that's where the good shit happens.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And the people listening to it, it's like, I always try to think when I'm putting out content, man, sometimes I've been guilty of making content that's kind of like for myself,
yeah,
and I'm like, man, that sounds good, but then when I look back now I'm cringing because I'm like, that would have gone over most people's head. It's like, how can I put this in your terms so that actually helps you,
so
you actually understand it, and it's like, ah, cool, yeah, that's really, really good, like, is this helping, is it not, man? So
it just feels better, bro. It feels natural, totally, it feels lighter, and for some reason that energy always pulls more money your way eventually, because generosity, it's a boomerang, bro. It always comes back. So if I'm being generous in like my time and my energy and my service to you, I'm just generous, somehow that gets received back to me. Maybe it's not even in a financial way, but it's in some capacity that's gonna be good energy that eventually comes back to me.
It always comes back, man.
It always comes back, bro.
Yeah, yeah, most always, definitely, man.
Dude, it's so good chopping it up with you, brother. Really, I feel like we should just, this was like the prelude, bro.
Mate, we could do it. We could do a regular show, man. Let's see if we get some demand for that.
Yeah, dude, this is great, brother. It's been such an honor and a pleasure speaking with you, man. Truly, truly.
Sure. Yo también.
So, my boy coming with the Spanish, bro.
Spanish with the Scottish accent.
I thought I heard that, bro. I was like, oh, shit. That's awesome. Well, brother, where can people find you, man, and connect with you? I'll put it in the show notes, but just give us a little plug, man.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It's probably the best place. My business name is The Rebuild, and my Instagram username is RossJackson_TheRebuild, all one word.
The Rebuild,
yeah.
Oh, that's such a good name, dude.
Thank you so much, man.
Bro. Yeah, I love that. It just encapsulates so much of what we're speaking about, really.
Yeah.
So that's good shit.
I love it, man. And I massively appreciate you having me on, man. It's been sick.
100%. It's been dope, man. Thanks again, Ross.